return and do two more parts. So tonight is just the opening of a two-part study, and it's about the spirit of Antichrist. And there was a reason why I decided to teach on this. I received a video from a friend that's going around on social media that tries to disparage Christianity and the truth of Christianity and associate it with pagan deities and try and basically promulgate that Christianity actually came from pagan religions. And of course, they have a lot of truth mixed in. But as I've said so many times before, it's not how much truth you have. It's how much falsehood you have. You know the story with the father and the brownies, right? Who made the brownies and the kids didn't want to be obedient. And they said, well, we want to go watch this movie. And it's only got a little, just a tiny bit of sex and violence in it. And he said, okay, well, all right, you guys that don't want to listen. And they went, when they came back, he had made some brownies, as you know the story by now. And they were just about to eat some. He says, wait a minute, before you partake, I just want you to know, just got a little bit of poop in there. And it's just the little bit that makes you don't want to eat it. Amen? So you can't have truth mixed with error. There's only one thing that is true, and that's the whole truth. So we see that there is a certain deception, spirit of deception that is going around, which is based really on the coming of the Antichrist. And we see it in the news about fake news. I can't tell you how many times last year I saw things on Facebook and in the news that were not true, that people had sent me. I almost kind of gave up trying to correct them because it's as if, you know, they weren't really making any effort to check things out without spreading stuff on the internet. You know, even just recently, Facebook's going to be charging. Come Saturday, you better sign up. You know, the hoaxes are so many. There's so much fake news. Truth is getting harder in this world to discern. And it's all a plan of the enemy so that people will be completely befuddled, will not really know what's true and what's not true. And of course, the Bible speaks about that as being the spirit of Antichrist. So that's what I want to teach on. And this is just part one. Next week I'll go into a little bit deeper. And I'm going to start with this verse, which I'll probably go into more next week. But and to me, it's quite an amazing verse in the New Living Translation. And it's Daniel chapter 8, verse 12. It says, but the army of heaven was restrained from destroying him for this sin. And if you read the context, it's speaking about the symbolic figure called the little horn and what he did and how he tried to destroy God's sanctuary. As a result, it says, sacrilege was committed against the temple ceremonies. And here's the part. And truth was overthrown or thrown to the ground in the King James Version. And it said the horn succeeded in everything it did. Now, if you think about it, what is the devil's most powerful weapon? Deception? Okay, but mind control, if at the base of mind control is what? Deception. That is the devil's most powerful weapon, is deception. In other words, lies. That's his most powerful weapon against a child of God. He doesn't have any other real weapon except deception. And it depends upon us and whether we go along with what he's telling us and whether we accept that deception. So Satan's most powerful weapon, in my mind, is the lie. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus, speaking to some Pharisees, said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So tonight what we want to really focus on is that weapon that the devil uses. And it, again, I'll be showing you that it's really the spirit of Antichrist. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. That's one of Jesus' harsh sayings, right? He's just laying it out there. Listen, if you were of God, you would believe me. Now, people don't like confronting people with such a stark message, but it's the truth. I've really seen it in people I've witnessed to. There's some people that instantly, they don't want to have nothing to do with it. It's like, don't bother me. I'm already got it all. I don't need your truth. I don't need to hear from you. And you can tell the people who Satan's already cloaked them, so to speak, in deception, in lies. And we can see it so subtly. So the spirit of deception, as I said, is Satan's biggest weapon. That's what he tries to do, is deceive. Because really, that's the only power that he has over the Christian, is to lie to you, to tell you something and deceive you if possible. And the reason why he does that is to bring about doubt. Doubt. Doubt is what kills faith, right? Doubt. And so if he can start to deceive you, it starts to make your mind think, and then doubt creeps in. The Bible says if we ask without doubting. So if Satan can start to bring doubt about any aspect of God's word, he's already won a victory. And so let's look at how he works. And he's very clever. It's through questioning the word. He doesn't come out and say something usually opposite, but it's always through making you think, through a question. And this is going back all the way to the garden. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? See, it's a question. You see, when you're asked a question, it makes you think. Today, when we woke up, my wife and I were going back 40-something years, and we were just reminiscing on how we met. And the stories were different. The stories were different. Her story, if she had told you, would be slightly different from mine. And that was strange. You see, when you're asked a question, it's going to make you think. And Satan's way of bringing in doubt is to put a question. See, she told her story, and then it made me think, did I get this right? Am I imagining the sequence of events? That's how Satan works. He's going to plant a question. That's how he works. Planting a question will start to make you think of the answer and to try and to bring doubt. He, in other words, is questioning the word. He did it literally in the book of Luke with Jesus. He literally was questioning the word. This month, our theme has been the word made flesh. And that's how Satan works. We see in the book of Luke and in Matthew, when it's describing the temptation of Jesus, he always starts again with a question. If thou be the Son of God. That's the same question he's going to ask you and me. Are you really a child of God? Because look at all this stuff. What about what you did last week? If you are a son of God, then why doesn't things go better for you? You see, that's how he will start to plant doubt and try and destroy your faith. And so three times, every time in the temptation, it started with, if thou be a son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Then again in Matthew 4:6, and he said unto him, if thou be a son of God. And the last time he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And again, it started with a question. if thou be a son of God. Satan will be saying to you this week, look at all this year, things went so bad. You cannot be a son of God. How can you be successful when all this stuff is happening? You see, he's planting the doubt. It's the spirit of deception. He wants you to start to doubt. And so then your prayers will not be as effective. In fact, it goes all the way back to the spirit of Antichrist. And is this in this video I was listening to, it was very clever. It lasted about 15 minutes. Did you get it too? Okay, and it was very, very clever. I had to admit, I mean, I knew it was all lies, but if you were not spirit-filled and actually had studied, it was a very powerful delusion. And I'm going to get into it a little bit later. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns, like a lamb. You know, the devil will come so beautifully. The Bible said, as an angel of light, transforming himself into an angel of light. The beast that came out in Revelation, it looked like a lamb. It had two horns. But here's the thing. Look at that picture. It spake as a dragon. Once it started to speak, that's when you found out the truth. Because it's out of the mouth is what defiles. Thessalonians 2:8 says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying. Here's the key. Lying wonders. Lying wonders. And with all deceivableness. You see what I'm telling you? That Satan's weapon against us is the lie. He will try and destroy your faith. Tell you God does not care about you. And even to the fact where you start to wonder, you know, you ever heard that voice? Is he real? Does God really exist? To the point where you may even start to think that. Because that is the spirit of Antichrist. Verse 11 says, and for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. If you keep rejecting truth, you know what's left? Lies. If you keep rejecting truth, the only thing that's left is a lie. It's funny how some people, you know, especially in the world of politics, they can look at something that is, to me, obviously a fact, and not accept it. Why? Because they have accepted the lie. They have become self-deluded. And that's the worst kind of lie, when you're lying to yourself. When you're lying to yourself, really, that's a bad way, because there's no external thing that can say. It's because sometimes we do not want to confront truth. Because when we confront truth, you know what that means? We got to change. That's the truth. When we see truth, truth compared to us would force us to change. So a lot of people don't want to confront truth because it makes them uncomfortable. They would rather accept the lie. And for this cause, verse 11 in 2 Thessalonians, God shall send them a strong delusion. They're going to believe all kinds of falsehoods that are going around out there, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So the spirit of Antichrist that is going to prefigure the realization of that person is, first of all, to get the world believing in lies or even not knowing what is truth. Isn't that what Pilate asked Jesus? What is truth? That's what he asked him. You see, it's already the spirit of Antichrist that is in the world that is trying to get the world deceived. The only way Satan can win is by deceiving people. That's what he did with Adam and Eve. Hath God said? And the best way to deceive people is to mix a lot of truth in there. The more truth you mix in and just have the little poison pill that will kill the thing. It says, verse 12, that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So the spirit of Antichrist is denial of truth. John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. We're certainly in the last time. It was the last time when John wrote this We're right on the midnight hour. Even now, there are many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. What does the word Christ mean? Anointed, Messiah. What you'll find in the world today is the atheists and the scientists who are unbelievers will want to say that there was no such person as Jesus. Or if there was a Jesus, as the Muslims agree to, he wasn't God's son. In other words, that Jesus is not the anointed. Do you understand what that means? What we're seeing then is the spirit of Antichrist. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the anointed or the Christ? He is Antichrist, Christ that denieth the Father and the Son. The Quran teaches that Allah has no son. Jesus is only a prophet, inferior to Muhammad. So we can see that the spirit of Antichrist is already there. And it's very key. That's how you can recognize it. Any theology, any ism, so to speak, that denies the deity of who Jesus Christ is the spirit of Antichrist. And that's how you can know it. John gave it to us. And we can see that in especially on Facebook, you see all of these falsehoods and things. The thing that I got today, I think it was today, it was saying that the things that we attribute to Jesus Christ are not unique. That the virgin birth, that there were many gods of ancient history that the story goes they had virgin births, or that they had a group of 12 disciples, or that they did miracles, that it's not unique. You see, what they're trying to do is deny the deity of Christ, to deny that God came in the flesh. And that is the spirit of Antichrist. And so we know that this means that we're on the very edge of the revelation, because the Bible says that he that will withhold or restrain till he be taken out of the way. And it says the mystery of iniquity doth already work. See, from Genesis 3:15, Satan knew that there was coming a Messiah. He knew that. And so it does not surprise me that he has tried to cook up all kinds of religions that try to simulate and counterfeit the truth. I was told, I don't know if this is true, but this is the story, that when they're training FBI agents who are going to be working in money laundering or into counterfeiting, you know, those people who they Photoshop a $20 bill and they print it out, that the way they teach them to recognize the fake from the false is not to study the false, but to study the real thing. And that's how you know what we're doing tonight. We're studying the real thing. So when you hear all these things or you see all this fake news, you'll be able to know that's not it. Because the devil is so clever, he will mix just enough truth to make it sound believable on the surface. But the scripture plainly tells us that the spirit of Antichrist then is the denial of truth. So let me show you some of the things in the, and I can't put all of the stuff that they were saying, but it's out there on the internet that Jesus, the Christianity evolved from other religions that came from pagan Egypt or from the Persians. And here's one of them. The Egyptians worshipped a god called Horus. And I know you can't read all of the fine print, but on one side, it's got all the things that supposedly Horus did. And on the other side is a Persian deity called Mithras. And on his side, it's got all the things that supposedly he did. Let me just read it. They're saying he was born of a virgin on December the 25th. This is what it says about Horus. His birth was announced by a star in the east and was attended by three wise men. He was a child teacher in the temple and was baptized when he was 30 by Anup the baptizer. He had 12 disciples. He performed miracles. He walked on water and transfigured on the mount. This is what they're saying is written about Horus. He was crucified, buried in a tomb, and resurrected. He was called the way, the truth, the light, the Messiah, God's anointed son, the Son of Man, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, the Word. He was the fisher, and he was associated with the Lamb, the Lion. Now, that sounds so convincing, doesn't it? You know, John, when he was speaking about truth to the church, he said, listen, I'm telling you all this thing, but you know what? I know you have the Spirit of God, which gives you an unction. That's how we will know, because the Spirit within you will be able to tell right away. Sister Mary will be able to tell right away. While she's coming, let me read what they say about Mithras. He was born of a virgin on December 25th. He was considered a great traveling teacher and master. He had 12 disciples. He performed miracles. He was buried in a tomb after 3 days. He rose again. His resurrection was celebrated every year during the principal festival held on what would become Easter. He was called the Good Shepherd, and so on and so on. Sister Mary.
I think it's just a thought, but I think that a lot of other mythological entities, because the name of Jesus is so powerful and so great, they don't want, the enemy doesn't want them to recognize that name, so he interjects other, you know, characteristics of Christ into those mythological gods. And then I think Paul said that when he went to Corinth, I believe, there are many gods and many lords. So it's Athens. So it's the same now that we know that there are many gods and many lords. And so, but we know the real thing.
Amen. See, unfortunately, though, that there are many people, young people, who will see this on Facebook and say, wait a minute, maybe this is true. Maybe there isn't anything special about the deity of Christ. Maybe he isn't really who I've been taught. I mean, I've just heard one side. And of course, unless you know that everything I've read on both sides is a lie, unless you know that, you know, or have studied and you can prove that, then there'll be people who will accept it and believe it. So this is the spirit of Antichrist, to deny who Jesus is. That's how we know we're living in a very, very bad time in one respect. Look at that, you know how it's phrased? As a question. When you see that kind of thing, your radar should come up right away. That's Satan. That's how he operates. It's like Yoda. He has to phrase it in a certain way. Is Jesus a myth? You know, not coming full frontal and say Jesus is a myth, but making you try to sow seeds in your mind. Here's what Jesus said, because he knew this would happen. I am come in my Father's name, and he received me not. If another shall come in his own name, him he will receive. Now, most of this stuff is being put out, of course, by atheists who are not really atheists. They're active atheists. You know, I would think that someone who didn't believe in God wouldn't care what other people believe, because he would think you're just stupid. But these are not people who just don't believe in God. They want to make sure that you don't believe in God either, which tells me that they're being energized. You see, to my mind, if someone thought this was all stupid, they would say, I'm not even going to waste my time. But the fact that they have their own societies and go to trouble to produce movies and to promulgate teachings should let you know that it's the spirit of Antichrist. That's what's happening. So then, how do we fight that kind of thing? How do we fight the spirit of Antichrist? What is the spirit of Antichrist? Right? But at the root of it, then, it is lies. How do we fight the spirit of Antichrist? With the truth. With the truth. That's how we fight the spirit of Antichrist, with the truth. Now, this whole month has been about the Word made flesh, right? John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's how you fight that spirit, with the truth. See, it's not about us trying to take on people, but Jesus has already made the way. Sister Audrey, if you want to come and ask. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Sister.
In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this is why it's so important when you're talking about truth, that we be in the house of the Lord hearing the truth, because it says 2 Timothy 4, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned onto fables.
That's what's happening. In fact, in the Old Testament, that's how a judgment came to, I believe, Ahab. A lying spirit went into the mouths of his prophets and told him what he wanted to hear. You know, it's easy to get people to do what you want if it's also what they want. But they shouldn't. It's okay. It's all right. Go ahead. You can do it. You don't have to say that twice. Because, see, our flesh wants to do some things, and it doesn't take much to get us going in that direction. Verse 5 says that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That's what they're doing. They're trying to exalt themselves against the knowledge even of God. Because that's what they're trying to do, is to say it's a myth, it's a fairy tale. And they have got all of these so-called pagan mythologies put together to try and show that, well, Christianity took this from here and took that from here. But the reality is much different, and we'll get to that. So casting down the imagination. So we cannot fight that unless we put on the armor of God, the weapons that we are given. And as I said, when you're dealing with deception, the way to deal with it is with truth. Truth. Thy word is truth. The word was made flesh, but the word is also truth. Amen. What makes you free? The truth. Knowing the truth, actually. It's knowing the truth that makes you free. It's not just the truth. By knowing, it means really believing, acting upon it. There's a lot of people who know the truth in one sense, but it doesn't do nothing for them because it doesn't motivate them. They don't really have it in here. They have it up here, but it's not gotten into their hearts, so it doesn't do anything from them. The Bible says it's knowing the truth makes you free. See, the devil can't deceive you. He can't have you bound by lies if you know the truth. When he comes to you in all his guises, you just tell him, listen, I know this is a lie, and I refuse to accept it. I don't believe your curses. Someone was trying to curse me and curse my dad some time ago, and that's just not going to happen. Because I'm blessed and highly favored. That's just not going to happen, right? If you know the truth, it sets you free from worry. It sets you free from depression. It sets you free from anger. You don't have to fight anybody. If you know the truth, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So when we get the truth of God inside of us, it sets us free from all kinds of things. Knowing the truth sets us free. John 8:29. And he that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words, many believed on him. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. When you continue in the word, what will happen? You will know the truth. A lot of people, they start, but they don't continue. So they don't get to know the truth. They don't get to the point where they have seen God work in their lives enough times so that when the devil comes with lies and depressions and doubt and fear, they're already all shaky. They're all shaky. They're ready to give up, you know, because they have not continued. He says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Brother Malcolm?
I feel like this is a key to, like, when you witness to people and they hit you with, like, another doctrine that they've learned, like, they're, you know, into all other kinds of truths. And the root that I've found, like when I when I'm attempting to witness to somebody, is that in their mind God has like disappointed them in some kind of way because they haven't like followed him in the way that he's wanting them to. And so they think, oh, okay, I did this, I, you know, checked off on this list, God, so now you have to do this. Otherwise, okay, I'm gonna go believe this other, you know, thing, and I'm gonna believe what the devil says because, you know, I believe he can make me happy in this form of my life. So,
you know, that's why there's so many, the devil is so clever. If he can come up with a slight deviation from the truth, we have these groups that they call them Hebrew roots, and they believe they're somehow descended from the lost tribes of Israel, which, you know, on the face of it, is so obviously, the facts are just plainly against that kind of theology. But yet, that's what they want to believe. So Satan gives them just enough little grains to make them accept that and think that they're okay. But here is the key. If you're going to be his disciples, if he continue in my word, that's the key. If he continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. It's great that we are baptized in his name, but you got to walk with him. You got to walk with him a little while. The disciples had been under his teaching for 3.5 years before they were really ready and equipped to be out by themselves totally. And even then they had to go wait at Jerusalem till they be endued with power. Then he says, you shall be my disciples, and he shall know the truth. You're not my disciples because you can do a miracle. You're not my disciples because you can read the scripture. You're not my disciples because you know Greek or Hebrew. It's when you continue in my word, when that word abides in you, and then you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Because if you've been through some things, you know the devil's lying. And it doesn't bind you in fear. It doesn't bind you in depression because you've been down that road and you know he's just lying. You know it's just a false set. It's just like a movie set. It looks so real till you get up close to it and find there's nothing behind that door. It just looks like it's tough and mean and bad. But it's just a fake set to try and get you in fear. But when you know the truth, you shall be free, shall make you free. So now let's apply that to that. To the two that I picked, there were other pagan deities. And here's the truth. The funny thing is that some of what they were saying is true. This pagan deity, Mithras, his birthday is celebrated on December 25th. And in fact, the reason why we celebrate December 25th is because the Roman Catholic Church adopted some of these pagan birthdays, so to speak. And so it's mixing some truth with untruth, and so it sounds so convincing. But let's look at this. The story of Mithras involves him being, you know, the virgin birth is what they claim, but when you really go to the ancient documents, none of what they said is true. It says that he was hatched from an egg of rock before time itself began. Does that sound like a virgin birth? No. But yet if you saw the movie, it would sound as if he copied everything that it says about Jesus. In fact, I just don't have the time to detail every fact that they had that was wrong. It says, in fact, there are few, if any, written records from Mithraic worshippers explaining their beliefs. Much of the information that we have about Mithraism comes from scholars who offer, and here's the, I should have highlighted it in red, speculative interpretations. So they see some artwork and they may count 12 people and say, well, that proves he had 12 disciples, just like Jesus. Oh, they were carrying some water and it shows them sprinkling, so that meant they baptized. Do you see what I'm saying? How the devil will twist some things. What the facts are is that there is no evidence that Mithras was a virgin birth. Even the mythology doesn't say that when you investigate it. It says Mithraism comes from scholars who offer speculative interpretations. And this is from Wikipedia. This is you can go to any encyclopedia of Mithraic artwork, which began to appear a few centuries after the time of Jesus. So in fact, it could be that the Mithraism copied from Christianity. See, that's what the devil always does. That's the mark of the beast is the copy of the seal of God. You see, but when you see these things on Facebook, they look so convincing and would dash the faith of young people who see these things. It says, so whatever similarities there might be between Christianity and Mithraism, it would be easier to speculate but that Mithraism borrowed from Christianity, not the other way around. But there's already three books written by some of these people claiming, you know, that Christianity came from all these pagan deities. It says, Mithraism, also known as the Mithraic Mysteries, was a mystery religion centered around the god Mithras that was practiced in the Roman Empire from about the 1st to the 4th century of the Common Era, or AD. The religion was inspired by Persian worship of the god Mithra. Through the Greek, Mithras was linked to a new and distinctive imagery, and it just goes on. So the Roman soldiers used to worship this god called Mithras, but none of the documentation proves anything like what they're saying. It says, no written narratives of theology, this is what the encyclopedia says, from the religion survive. That means there is no documents that tell us how people in that religion worshipped. That means everything you see that they said that they claimed, they're just making it up. In other words, it's a deception. It's the spirit of Antichrist to tear down the Jesus name religion, to tear down the deity of Christ. It says no written narratives or theology from the religion survive. Limited information can be derived from inscriptions and brief or passing references in Greek and Latin literature. And I put in red the key verse. It says, interpretation of the physical evidence remains problematic and contested. That means the scholars can't even agree amongst themselves. They don't agree what the artwork means. They don't agree on anything. So we see that what was put out, at least in the movie I saw, was really genuinely, in the words of President Trump, fake news. You know what? But we have some good news. Remember how you deal with deception? It's with truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He wasn't a fake. He was real. I mean, just look at any other religion that has changed the world. There's nothing to compare with the birth of Christ that changed an empire. That, as I said Sunday, we date all of humanity's dates center on his birth. Let's look at the other one that they claim, which was Horus, who was an Egyptian god. This one's a bit gross and a little bit X-rated, so I don't know if I want to go into too much detail, but the claim was that he was a virgin birth too, and that he did miracles, and that he had 12 people, and that he, and none of this is true. So when you actually go to the text that they are claiming it came from, even that doesn't sound too good. It's called the Book of the Dead. We don't want our name in any Book of the Dead because we want to be in the Book of the Living. But this is where you find the information on Horus, and it speaks about his sister in the Egyptian mythology whose name was Isis. Isis, not a good name either. And what happened is they were married, and he was killed and died. And she still wanted to have a child. So in the mythology, in the Book of the Dead, she was able to get him to produce a child. I don't want to be too graphic, but you get what I mean. And they call that a virgin birth. That's nothing close to what happened in the Book of Matthew. Nothing even close. In other words, she had relationship with a dead body. And that was what they were trying to say was a virgin birth. Osiris and Isis are a married couple who presumably had already been sexually active. So what they're also claiming is that even though when they were married they had relations, she became a virgin after he died. Nonsense. Isis becomes pregnant with Horus through sexual intercourse, although with some magical assistance, as Osiris was dead. So when you really look into the details, when you look at the truth, you find the truth tells everything they said was a lie. So you see, what Satan wants to do is to destroy your faith, to take away the truth of what God's plan of salvation is. And that's why when Jesus spoke to Peter, you know, I used to say, well, God, why don't you just stop Satan? Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Did you know Satan desires to have you? You, me. He really would like to destroy us. I think a lot of times when we wake up in the morning, we don't think about that. Because the Bible tells us to do what? Watch. Watch and pray. Isn't that what Jesus said? Lest he enter into what? Imagine if we were really cognizant of the fact that he's out to destroy us. Now, if we were a soldier in Iraq and we were sent out on a mission, you think we'd be just strolling down the street? No, we'd be like, we'd have our weapon ready to go and we'd be watching where we wouldn't we? Do you understand that that's how we should be spiritually? That Satan is trying to kill us? And the Bible tells us to watch and pray. Jesus was warning Peter. Peter, he's got a trap for you. He's trying to destroy your faith. And he came that close. Because what was the spirit of Antichrist? A lie. And to deny who Jesus is. Isn't that what Peter came close to doing? Jesus warned him. That's what you're going to do. When you deny who I am. In fact, Jesus said, if any man will deny me, I'm going to deny him. It's because it's the spirit of Antichrist. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, throw you up in there and let the winds of life, circumstances, people, sickness, financial hardship, blow you away. But here's the beautiful part. But I have prayed for thee. That the most important thing that you have, that you have, that I have, that we have, is our faith. That is the most important thing that we have to maintain, is our faith. Because that's the only thing that is going to stand up against the fiery darts. They're going to come. He never said they weren't going to shoot fiery darts at us. But if your faith is weak, then some of them may get through. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Satan is after to try and destroy your faith, to destroy through the spirit of Antichrist, to try and weaken what you believe, your trust in God. That's what he's trying to do. That's the age that we're in, the spirit of Antichrist, because it's preparing the way for that one to be revealed. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Here's the proof that you absolutely have to have this. And this is the victory. This is so important if we could really get it. Whatever you're going through right now, this is the victory. You have to believe that God loves you, that he's through his spirit, you're going to get through this, that you're going to be a winner through the spirit of God. This is the victory that overcometh the world, overcometh that spirit of deceit, overcometh that spirit of despair, overcometh that spirit of doubt, even our faith. That's what he's going to attack. He'll make your child sick. And when you pray, he'll hold up the deliverance to make you doubt, to start to make you question. He can do that. He did that with Daniel, didn't he? The message was sent from the very first day you started praying, but it took 21 days. Why? Because there was opposition. There was opposition. In the book of Revelation, he said, one of the churches, you'll be in prison for 10 days. Satan is going to do it. He's going to put you in prison because we're in warfare. This kingdom has not yet been reclaimed yet. So we're on enemy territory. I say that so often, but we need to be reminded. We're in a fight. We're in a fight for our families, for our minds, for our Christianity, for our character. He'll throw anything he can to destroy you and your relationship with God. You have to hold on to your faith. You have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's why Satan was going to attack Peter's faith. And that's why Jesus said, I prayed that your faith fail not. Now, I didn't pray that you don't have trouble. I don't pray that you don't get sick. I don't pray that you don't have family fusses. It's all going to happen. In this life, you shall have what? But be of good cheer. That's right. That's what we have got to stand upon. We have got to stand upon the word. Thy word is? But thy word is truth. Right? Truth. The truth of God will overcome the spirit of deception and doubt and fear that Satan will want to put in our minds. Like facing 2018, maybe there's all kinds of things that you can start to worry about. In the flesh, we're human. We're going to worry about stuff. Do we have enough of this? What about my job? What about my children? What about this pain I've been experiencing? See, what he's doing is actually asking us a question. Is he real? Do you still believe now? What are you going to do when this happens? For whatsoever, and I'm repeating it, is born of God, overcometh the world, and this is the victory. If you want victory, you have to absolutely hold on and believe these things, that first of all, God loves you, that he is just, that he is righteous, that he has a plan for your life. And with those things, you can defeat the spirit of deception, of doubt, and of fear. Let me go over some lies that Satan says. God does not love you. All right, somebody give me a word to counteract that. A word. Not your word. I want a word. Okay. Any other scripture? Any it is written. Very good. Romans 8. Okay. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to list all the things. Good. That's what we've got to respond with. Yes, we know it, but we need to stand upon the word. We have to have an it is written to defeat the spirit of that. But that is a lie that will come to all of us, that we've disappointed him. Yes, we have disappointed him. Yes, we have failed. Nevertheless, the father was standing there looking for the son who had completely wasted half his fortune on riotous living, had disgraced his family name, had made a mess. But he still loved him. Still looking for him. See, that's one of the lies that the devil will tell you. Now, here's another lie. Because God loves you, your behavior does not matter. Now, that's another lie, isn't it? Because God loves me, because I'm his son, I can do anything I want. Spoiled brat. You know what happens to spoiled brats? They get a whipping. Okay, very good. That's the scripture. Romans 8, 1. Romans 8, 6. I think it's Romans 8. Is it 8, 6? Okay. All right. Look it up and tell me. 6, 1? Okay. Someone read it out. Yes, read it out. Because it's important that we understand how we defeat the spirit of Antichrist. It's with the word which is truth. Thy word is truth. Go ahead.
Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Amen. Amen. All right, here's another lie. That's right. You've tried and tried, but you're just not good enough. You're never going to make it. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Right? This is how we defeat the lie of the enemy. Here's another one. Satan isn't real. There's no such thing as the devil. Anybody got a scripture for that one? Your adversary, the devil, goes around as what? Roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. All right, here's another one. God just wants you to be happy in life and in this world. Your Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to quote that when this situation comes up to you. When you're facing something, this is what you got to do. You got to speak words. You have dominion. You have dominion. You have to speak. The Bible says you shall have the fruit of your lips. Here's another lie, spirit of Antichrist. Church is not important. I can serve God from anywhere. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Okay. A lot of people say, I can serve God at home. I can put my hand on the television and pray. But that's not what the scripture says, is it? So you are falling into the devil's trap. You are starting to follow the spirit of Antichrist. Satan wants you to think God is a tyrant, always harsh. What word would you give him then? He's come in and said, God is harsh. He doesn't love you. He's judgmental. Psalms 139. Okay, that's a good one. Psalms 139, his mercy endures forever. What did you say, Chris? 136, okay. My brain is going. Thank you. What does that say? Amen. So that when you're going through something, can you say, Lord, that proves the Lord loves me? Huh? Can you say that when you're going through some stuff? When last did you tell yourself that? Come on, be honest. That proves that the Lord loves me. That proves that the Lord loves me. I will glory infirmities so that the power of God may rest. All right? When have you last said that when you're going through some hardship? Now, that would scare the devil, you said that out loud.
Yes.
I mean, that would make the devil run away. The demons would go, mm-mm-mm. That guy's crazy.
Yes.
Imagine when you've just had a terrible disaster. Lord, that proves you love me. Does that make any sense? No. You see? Because that shows a transformed thinking. See, that's completely against the spirit of this world. All right. There isn't going to be a judgment day. Here's another lie from Satan. Hebrews 9. Okay. There's going to be a judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Okay, what about this? When you die, that's just it. Of course, that does it for both of those. But any other scripture? Anyone got a word for that? Another word for that? Okay, okay. All right. And in Revelation it said, and I saw the dead, both small and great, stand, and the books were opened, and then another book. All right. If the rapture, if it's real, is years and decades away. After all, it's already been more than 2,000 years. Okay. Another scripture. Peter. All right. See, do we actually do what Jesus did in dealing with the lies of the devil? Or do you just tough it out, keep your mouth shut, and just tough out your day? I really, really, really believe if you would speak to your situation against the spirit of Antichrist, against the spirit of deception and doubt and fear, you would be starting to exercise dominion. So the spirit of Antichrist is defeated by truth. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 17:17 says, Jesus, when he was praying for us, he said, sanctify, I mean, separate them through the truth. We should be separated because we know the truth, and thy word is truth. So every time you start to speak the word of God, you're speaking his truth. You're speaking his word. You're taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. James 1:18, of his own will begat us with the word of truth. In fact, that particular phrase, word of truth, I didn't put all the occurrences, but it's in there a lot of times in the New Testament, that phrase, word of truth. That's how you defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. We cannot face the enemy unless we take the word of truth and just wrap it around us. When we wrap ourselves in God's word, we are pretty safe, I'm telling you that. Because first of all, it sets us free. If we believe it and act upon it, it gives us dominion and power. This is how the spirit of Antichrist is done. If you got some grime and dirt in your bathroom, you know what you want to do? Get some Ajax or some bleach and you start disinfecting that thing. That's what we have to use the word of God for, as some spiritual disinfectant for the bugs and the grime that Satan wants to infect us with. Amen. In fact, truth, and I think it's Joseph Prince says this, truth is not a concept. Truth is a person. If you could stand with me. It's 8:00. I'm getting real good at this. Truth is really a personified in Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth. There's not several truths. There's not a million ways to Christ. You can't make it through Buddha or Muhammad or any of these other mythical deities. In fact, in studying, you'll find that most of these things, you can't even prove they did exist. But there is thousands of manuscripts that document Jesus' life, most of them written in the very, very contemporary time of his life. In 1 Peter, Peter says that he was seen by more than 500 witnesses. But if you don't want to believe the witnesses, just the prophecies that God has placed in his sacred word, that's what dispels the spirit of Antichrist. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get to heaven. You can't get to God. You can't get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. If he had known me, he should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Who were they looking at? Jesus. Philip saith unto us, he still didn't get it, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus had to really make it plain and break it down. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You see, when we have come to Christ, we have come to truth. So truth is not a concept, actually. It's embodied in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, the spirit of Antichrist is in the world, and it's trying to take away your faith. It's trying to destroy your belief and want you to doubt that God loves you, that he has a plan for your life because of all the tribulations. But that's just to be expected, because we're in warfare. We're in a fight, and Satan hates you. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to make you doubt. He wants to make you lose your salvation, if that's possible. He wants to make you turn back. He wants to let anything he can start a fire in your life to burn you up. Sometimes it's finances. Sometimes it's family issues. Sometimes it's relatives. Anything that he can make you start to question. Hath God said? Hath God said? That's all he had to say to Eve. Hath God said? To start her down the path of doubt, of despair, of thinking that she could make a decision that was different from what God had said, what God had declared. I'm encouraging you today. to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and whack that devil. Whack that devil. Amen. That's what we were doing when we were looking for the scriptures. We have the helmet of salvation, right? Breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, our loins girded around with truth. We have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then after that, it says, doing all that you can to stand, stand. Don't let the devil destroy you with doubt. Believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. We're closing this Bible study, but I just want to encourage you as we go into 2018. Don't let the spirit of Antichrist deceive you. Next week is part two, and I'm going to go in more into the tribulation and prophecy, but I wanted to lay this ground about how the spirit of Antichrist works. It's all about lies. All about lies. But when you have the truth, it's like shining a light into a dark place. Darkness has to go. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts and heads with me. Father, we just thank you tonight for your anointing. Let this word build faith in our hearts. Let us even be more diligent, Lord, to seek your face, to use your word. Hallelujah. To use the dominion you have given us as sons and your daughters. Father, let your spirit be a covering over us this week. Lord, give us victory in every aspect of our lives. Oh God, as we stand up based upon your authority and we quote your word. Oh God, we stand upon your truth. Father, we just ask you right now to let your Holy Spirit, Lord God, lead and direct us. Give us grace in all of our relations, oh God. Oh Father, help us to come to you, Lord God, believing and to put aside doubt and every weight and every sin. Lord God, that you can pour out a blessing upon us. We thank you right now and we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. Do not let the devil take your joy. Take your faith. The Bible says your most precious faith, because that's what he wants to do. But you take that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you whack him. Tell him it is written. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through, there is a word that God has given that you can use. Don't let that spirit of Antichrist deceive you. Greet one another. Amen. Just before you go, a couple of announcements. Sunday morning, we're going to be having Bishop...